A spike in U.S. coronavirus cases sends stocks sliding.
The fact that this is happening and simultaneously we're hearing pretty dire warnings from officials about the economy and how long it's going to take for it to recover, I think those things together are really weighing on sentiment in the last couple of days.
Plus, some nursing homes say the government has shipped them protective gear that's unusable.
One nursing home operator described them as, like, quote, glorified garbage bags. Another one said they were more akin to a tarp that he might use in his garden.
It's Thursday, June 11th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The total number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the U.S. has now surpassed 2 million, and we're seeing a surge in some states that have reopened their economies. More than a dozen states have seen an increase in confirmed cases in the past week, at a faster pace than the previous week, according to a Wall Street Journal analysis of data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. More than 113,000 people are confirmed to have died of COVID-19 here in the United States. New weekly jobless claims continue to fall, albeit at a very slow pace. Last week, 1.5 million people filed for unemployment benefits, and the overall number drawing on benefits has declined slightly to 20.9 million. Some economists take that as a sign the economy is slowly mending from the fallout due to the coronavirus pandemic. Army General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has apologized for appearing with President Trump for a photo op near the White House last week after peaceful protesters were forcibly removed from the area. Milley addressed the photo session publicly for the first time during a speech at National Defense University in Washington, D.C.
I should not have been there. My presence in that moment and in that environment created a perception of the military involved in domestic politics. As a commissioned, uniformed officer, it was a mistake that I have learned from, and I sincerely hope we all can learn from it.
The photo session drew backlash from critics and praise from supporters. After the crowd of protesters was cleared by federal law enforcement and National Guardsmen, President Trump and others walked to St. John's Church, where the president posed for photos while holding a Bible. Coming up after the break, how the market reacted to a surge in U.S. coronavirus cases. After weeks of gains on Wall Street driven by positive investor sentiment that the worst of the coronavirus was over, an uptick in new cases sent U.S. markets reeling today. The Dow plunged more than 1,800 points, or nearly 7%. The Nasdaq and S&P 500 each lost more than 5%. It was the worst day for U.S. stocks since a series of sell-offs in March. Joining me now with more analysis of the trading day is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani. All right. So, Akani, a big slide today. Tell us what you're hearing from investors about their big concerns.
We've started to see data over the last couple of days that have suggested that we are actually seeing a big increase in coronavirus cases in a number of states, including California and Arizona and Florida, that have taken steps to reopen. And while some of that is expected, I mean, I think a lot of people were expecting a so-called second wave of infections. The fact that this is happening and simultaneously, we're hearing pretty dire warnings from officials about the economy and how long it's going to take for it to recover. I think those things together are really weighing on sentiment in the last couple of days, with investors having to confront the reality that maybe this prediction that we'll be able to reopen without seeing a significant uptick in cases that forces us to have to close again, that maybe that's not really looking realistic anymore.
Yeah, and just yesterday we heard from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, who said that the pace of the recovery will depend in large part on our efforts to contain the pandemic. So are you getting the sense that investors are now weighing those sorts of warnings more heavily?
Absolutely. And I think that's especially true given the difficulty of interpreting a lot of the economic data that we've been getting in the last couple of months. I mean, to a certain extent, all of the data points that we receive are backwards looking, some more so than others. And so I think in times like this, it becomes sometimes the word of, you know, Federal Reserve officials do become more important to investors who are really trying to get a sense of, you know, what is the central bank going to do? What is their outlook for the future? And what, to any extent, are the data telling us about how long it's going to take for the economy to recover? So I think when Powell said Wednesday that it was probably going to take years for the labor market to actually recover from this pandemic, it really sort of drove home to people who maybe were a little bit more optimistic before this that, yes, this is going to be a painful recovery.
Which sectors are we seeing taking the biggest hits right now?
We're seeing all 11 sectors of the S&P 500 trading lower, but in particular, the areas that you might expect to be more sensitive to changes in the economy are doing worse. So for instance, bank stocks are doing particularly poorly today, and we're seeing names like Goldman and Bank of America, Morgan Stanley doing worse than the broader market. We're also seeing energy stocks doing quite poorly following oil prices lower, because again, that's sort of another bet on growth or lack of growth in the future. And then industrial stocks, I mean, manufacturers, of course, have been really hard hit by the pandemic. And even with factories resuming operations around the world, there's really a sense that demand for these types of products is probably going to be affected for quite some time. So things like Caterpillar and Boeing have been also pretty hard hit by the sell-off.
That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani. The elderly have been hard hit by the pandemic, especially those in nursing homes. One huge factor contributing to the spread there has been the lack of personal protective equipment for the staff that care for them. The federal government offered to help and delivered medical supplies like gowns, gloves, and surgical masks. But some facilities say what they've received is frankly unusable. Our Anna Wilde Matthews spoke with staff at those facilities and joins me now with more details. So, Anna, what did you hear from nursing homes who received equipment from FEMA? What were some of the issues they described to you?
So some nursing homes told me that they received equipment that they really didn't think they could use. Particularly, some received blue plastic gowns that they didn't think would work with their infection control requirements. One nursing home operator described them as, like, quote, glorified garbage bags. Another one said they were more akin to a tarp that he might use in his garden. There were also some cases where they received gloves that they were said were sort of too small for adult use. And then at least one operator had gotten masks that they didn't think they could use because the ear holders were too loose, and in some cases, they were too small.
Nursing homes are among the hardest hit by the pandemic. A tally done by the Wall Street Journal showed more than 44,000 deaths of nursing home residents and staff. We know that the elderly are a particularly vulnerable population when it comes to this virus, but what were the other factors that influenced this?
Yes, a tally of state data by the journal showed that more than 44,000 deaths had occurred among residents and staff in long-term care facilities, which is a category that also includes assisted living sites. There are a lot of factors that have led to that. It is an older population. Often they have other health conditions. A major issue is that they are living often in close quarters, often sharing rooms, and that staff interact very closely with residents, often helping them with activities of daily living, such as eating. So it's hard to do social distancing in that case. In addition, for a long time, and even still today in some places, there hasn't always been enough testing. So it seems clear now that some staff were asymptomatic, not realizing they were infected, but may have been carrying the virus. In addition, some residents may have been asymptomatic and in close proximity to other residents, and again, spreading the virus around. So there have been a lot of reasons that it's been so bad.
We've also been reporting since early on in the pandemic about a lack of equipment for hospitals and nursing homes. What is the situation for nursing homes now?
Some nursing homes definitely still have shortages of certain equipment. The journal did an analysis of data that was released last week by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That analysis found that 673 nursing homes were saying they lacked a current supply of at least one type of personal protective equipment, and about 3,100 had less than a 1 week supply of at least one type of personal equipment. That was for the week of May 31st. The types of equipment included in that data were masks, gloves, eye protection, hand sanitizer, and gowns.
How did FEMA respond to complaints from nursing homes about the equipment they received?
So FEMA and the contractor that was handling this distribution said that the gear that is being supplied meets standards set by the Federal Food and Drug Administration and the Association for the Advancement of Medical Instrumentation, which is a not-for-profit organization that has requirements for various types of gear. So they said all that they are sending meets those requirements, and that also, you know, any complaints, if nursing homes have them, they can reach out the contractor. They also did say, though, that certain gowns, they were going to be providing a new instructional video about proper donning and doffing of the gowns, perhaps to help nursing homes know how to use them.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Wilde Matthews joining me from Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you.
And finally, the pandemic has created some strange new rituals, like parades of cars driving through neighborhoods, honking horns, with people cheering inside as they celebrate birthdays, graduations, or other events from a safe distance. It's become such a big deal that there are even people organizing these drive-through bashes for strangers, like Ronnie Jenkins on Long Island in New York.
I call them the Happy Squad. And we have about 25 regulars, I'd say, that really come out and they join almost every single car celebration that we've done. And again, it's been everything from celebrating veterans on Memorial Day to birthdays to graduations, and just, you know, getting out there and doing things that people normally would be doing if we didn't have COVID.
But not everyone is feeling the party spirit. Some neighbors get annoyed, and complaints over noise and traffic jams have caused officials in some communities to attempt to restrict how many cars can participate. Jenkins says she tries to keep her Happy Squad disruptions to a minimum.
It's a minor inconvenience that really just makes so many people so happy. And again, we try to make it respectful. We're not doing it late at night. We're not doing it at all hours of the day. We have very set times, at least in our group.
So far, Jenkins has cheered for over 50 strangers' birthdays from ages 2 to 96.
Maybe it's selfish, but bringing joy to other people just brings joy to me. So it's something that I'm really honored to do.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.